It's not hard for us to understand this concept of will. You know, we have our own wills. We think what should be done. We determine that. That's our will. It's our desires. As human beings, we operate basically on our will or God's will. Those are the two options. Now, we might be someone else's will, but it's really our will, right? Versus God's will.
Welcome to this midweek edition of Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt, pastor of Equipping Bible Church in Greer, South Carolina. And Greg, today we continue our look at the impossible.
Yes, we will, Dave. And you're talking about how believers can walk and are to walk. And yes, with man it is impossible. Yet with God, that's a different story. So turn with us to Colossians chapter 1, and we're looking at verses 9 and 10.
Well, thanks, Greg. And if you're new to Equipping the Saints, head over to our website, etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org, to learn more about this ministry and our teacher, Pastor Greg Lundstedt. Our web address is simply etsradio.org. Now, with today's message, here's our teacher, Greg Lundstedt.
So I need to forgive you. And if you're caught up in sin, I need to come alongside you and help you out. And if you're rebellious, I need to come alongside and expose it that I might win you. He's got all kinds of different commands in that, right? But practically speaking, the day in and day out commands of how we interact with one another in graciousness and kindness, walking like Jesus did towards us. So then, we see here that they had a real love. They had a real love. And so for this reason, he says, we've not ceased to pray for you. Now, in just about all of Paul's letters, we see him pray in Romans 1, Ephesians 1, Philippians 1, 1 Thessalonians 1, 2 Thessalonians 1, 2 Timothy 1, and Philemon plus Colossians. Paul is praying for people that he has ministered to. And this was convicting to me. I'm thinking, Lord, do I pray enough for the people I'm ministering to? Lord, I need to be praying that they would do exactly what you're saying here. We need to pray for one another in the same way. So then, he is praying. Now, why doesn't Paul just say, you know, God's working on them. They'll get there eventually. You hear that, don't you? God's working on them. They'll get there. Well, that's true. But implying in that is that I'm not going to intervene. I'm not going to deal with it. Rather than, I'm going to pray for that person that God would change them. I'm going to pray for that person that they would be convicted. I'm going to pray for them that God would make them into the image of his son. Praying, 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 praying. And Paul didn't cease praying. He didn't cease praying. This should shame us in a sense. We're so busy on our own lives and all of our own stuff. This person did this to me. That happened to me. This happened here. Oh no, whatever it might be. Rather than, Lord, help me to see the important things. Help me to pray for those people around you. We see that the Lord loved them to the end. And he loved them and loved us by dying for us, right? We see that. So Paul says, hey, since we've heard of it, for this reason, we haven't stopped praying. And notice he shares, there's a petition with this. He says, and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will. See, the Apostle Paul understood that only God can change someone. The Apostle Paul understood that it was through prayer. And when we pray, we exhibit humility in a sense that we recognize we can't do it and God must do it. And so we need to be praying all the time. The Apostle Paul is a great example of that. And so we have his petition here specifically that these Colossians might be filled with the knowledge of his will. Now this word knowledge, gnosis, with the epi on front makes it intense, epinosis. Speaks of a full or intensified knowledge, specifically in this context of his will. And he says here that they may be filled with the knowledge of his will. I pray these true believers would be filled with the knowledge of his will. See, if you don't come to faith in Jesus Christ, you can never be filled with the knowledge of his will. You've got to be a believer. You've got to be a believer. Now, this term may be filled comes from the Greek word plerao. It speaks of being totally filled or being filled up. It speaks of things being completed maybe, reaching an end. You could think of this. I was fulfilled after I went to McDonald's. You know, I reached the end of that. I'm fulfilled, right? Whatever it might be. We have here that it's filled, reaching an end, being complete. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18, it says, and do not get drunk with wine. This is dissipation, but same verb, but be filled with the Spirit. The contrast is, don't let wine fill you and thus control you. Let the Spirit of God be controlling you. Let the Spirit of God be controlling you. Be filled with the Spirit. We have the Spirit in us, but sometimes we're not filled with the Spirit in the sense that we're not allowing the Spirit to control us. And so then, he's praying here that they may be filled. And it's also in a passive voice in Greek, which is very interesting. Which means the action is not accomplished by the subject. It is passively receiving. The subject is passively receiving the action. So he's not saying, go out and be filled with the knowledge of his will. Go do it. He's praying that God would do this in them, that they would be filled with the knowledge of his will. Now, there's a means in which that happens. Yes, there is. But God is the one who fills us with the knowledge of his will. He's praying for that. Completely controlled with the full knowledge of his will. You see, if we know what God's will is, and we'll talk about it in a minute, it's going to control us. If we know what God's will is for this conversation, God's will is for this interaction. God's will is for what happens if I mess up. What God's will is for me, right? And so with that in mind, what is God's will? What does that mean? You know, we have a lot of things. Is it God's will for me to buy that car? You know, well, nothing wrong with asking God. We should pray about everything. But more often than not, God's will is not an answer to a question of what we should purchase or whatever it might be. Certainly, we give that over to him, right? But we're going to see God's will basically is God's desire. That's what the word means. Thelema speaks of the desire which comes from one's heart or emotions. That's what the term will means. It's what one desires or has determined shall be done. And so here, obviously, God's will is speaking of what God desires and has determined should be done. That's God's will. And so here, it's not hard for us to understand this concept of will. You know, we have our own wills. We think what should be done. We determine that. That's our will. It's our desires. As human beings, we operate basically on our will or God's will. Those are the two options. Now, we might be someone else's will, but it's really our will, right? Versus God's will. And so here, with this in mind, let's make some observations from our passage about God's will from our passage. Notice first of all, he says that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will. First of all, it is his will. It's crucial to see this. It's crucial. It's speaking about God. It's what God desires to happen. It's what God desires to happen. It's God's will. Secondly, it's something that is to be known, that you might be filled with the knowledge of God's will. And there are many passages of Scripture concerning God's will, but today I just want to encapsulate one major element of God's will, which I believe comes from this passage. You see, God's will, more often than not, is related to what we do, our actions. What is his will for us? Our character, our thoughts, and thus what we do. It's about righteous behavior revealed in his word. It's about his will. Take, for instance, you can look at 1 Thessalonians 4. This is an example. It's in a narrow field, but it's an example. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 3. For this is the will of God. This is God's desire. This is his determination. This is the will of God. Your sanctification. That means to be set apart from sin. Now, he's going to give a specific example related to these Thessalonians, but related to all of us. He says, that is that you abstain from sexual immorality, that each of you know how to possess his own vessel. No, notice, know how to possess his own vessel in sanctification and honor, not in lustful passion like the Gentiles who do not know God. This is his will, is to know how we are to possess our vessels. Not in an evil way like the Gentiles, but in sanctification and honor. That's his desire. And it can be known if we read it and allow the Spirit of God to illuminate it, as we will see. This is the will of God. The will of God. Paul also makes this argument clear in Ephesians chapter 5. The women are going through this. Turn there. He's going to say, hey, here's all this immorality and all this stuff. That's not the way you should be. That's not the will of God for you. Ephesians chapter 5. After exhorting us to walk in love like Christ walked in love for us. He says in verse 3, but do not let immorality or impurity or greed even be named among you. That's God's will. He says, don't do that. Don't let that happen, right? As is proper among saints. And there must be no filthiness, silly talk, or coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather the giving of thanks. Hey, you should be thankful. That's God's will instead. That's his desire, right? For this you know with certainty that no immoral or impure person or covetous man who is an idolater has an inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. See, this is his motivation for us to do his will, right? This is not who you are. That's who they are, and they're going to hell. Don't be deceived, right? And so he says here, for because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not be partakers with them, for you were formerly darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Hey, you're righteous because of Christ. Right? Light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Walk in the light, not in the darkness. That's righteousness, not sin, like he just talked about here. For the fruit of the light consists of all goodness and righteousness and truth. Trying to learn or demonstrate what is pleasing to the Lord. And do not participate in the unfruitful deeds of darkness, but instead even expose them. For it is disgraceful even to speak of the things which are done by them in secret. But all things become visible when they are exposed by the light. And for everything that becomes visible is light. For this reason it says, awake, sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Now listen to this. Therefore, be careful how you walk. He says here, not as unwise, but wise, making the most of your time because the days are evil. So then, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. What's the will of the Lord? It says, don't act like them. Don't do those sinful, wicked things you did before you were saved. But we should be walking in the context of the light. Righteousness, truth, right? Those things. That's God's will revealed in his word. Very specifically. You see, and often God's will is opposed to our will. This is the way we used to live before we knew Christ. That was our will. 1 Peter chapter 4. Therefore, since Christ suffered in the flesh, arm yourselves also with the same purpose. Because he who has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin. Now, it doesn't mean we stopped, but here's what he explains. He says, so as to live the rest of the time in the flesh, no longer for the lusts of men, but for the will of God. I'm going to live for his desire rather than mine or yours, right? I'm going to live for his desire as revealed in the Word of God. And Paul's praying, hey, I pray that they're filled to the brim with the knowledge of his will. You see, because if we have his will understood in our hearts and our minds have been renewed because we're true believers, have the Spirit of God, then it's going to come out in our behavior. Romans 12, 1. I urge you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present yourselves a living and holy sacrifice acceptable, which is your spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what the will of God is. You may demonstrate his will in action, having had your minds transformed. We see very clearly that's what it is. Let me give you another example here, a practical example from Ephesians chapter 6. Turn there, Ephesians chapter 6. Practical example of God's will and how it functions in our actions. This could be applied to the work relationship. These were like indentured servants at this time. Slavery is a little different at this time, but He says, slaves, be obedient to those of your masters according to the flesh. That's God's will, by the way, with fear and trembling in the sincerity of your heart as to Christ. That's God's will. And not by way of eye service as men pleasers, but as slaves of Christ. Look at this. Doing the will of God from the heart. Don't be a man pleaser. That's not God's will. But be obedient to your masters. That's doing the will. Do it from your heart. Right? Doing the will of God. With good, render service as to the Lord and not unto men, knowing that whatever good thing that one does, he will receive back from the Lord, whether slave or free. Doing the will of God from the heart. Paul's praying, hey, that they be filled with the knowledge of his will, because we're going to see that when you're filled with the knowledge of his will, that's the first step to walking worthily. I can't walk worthily unless I have his will filled in my heart. I know what it is. Then I can thus trust him and live it out. So then back in our passage, one other thing that I want to point to here is that it's not just simply the knowledge of his will alone. There's a parallel passage, and I read it earlier in Ephesians, that speaks of the knowledge of him. The knowledge of his will is tied up in the knowledge of the person of Christ. And I'm going to read that again for Ephesians 1:17, that the God of our Father, Lord Jesus Christ, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. We're praying you have spiritual wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Jesus. And our passage is about the knowledge of his will. His will in him, right? This is the focal point. Jesus is the focal point. The Apostle Paul would say, to live is Christ, to die is gain. Jesus is the focal point, and his will, his desire, should be our focal point. Jesus made it clear that when he prayed to the Father in John 17, this is eternal life, that they might know thee, the one and only true God, and your Son whom thou hast sent. Eternal life is summed up in a relationship with the living God. And within that, there is God's will for us to manifest his character as we abide and trust in his Son. So then, in our passage, he's praying that we would be filled with the knowledge of his will. And even later on, he'll talk about in verses 9 through 10, increasing in the knowledge of God a little later on. That's part of it, increasing the knowledge of God. We'll see that next week. That's in the end of verse 10. It's one of those fruits. So then, God has revealed his will through his word, as we're going to say. So Paul is praying that we would be filled with the knowledge of his will. Now notice back in our passage, go to Colossians, back in our passage, that he qualifies this. Because a lot of people kind of talk about his will, but they may start putting in human things in that plot instead of what God has revealed. They kind of convert man's will or their will into God's will. And that's not what he's talking about, because his will is a spiritual reality. And it is something that can only be understood in the spiritual sphere, rightly. So he says, for this reason, since the day we heard of it, we have not ceased to pray for you and ask that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. That's the sphere. Spiritual wisdom, all spiritual wisdom, and understanding. You could actually take that all and apply it to understanding also. So the Bible's clear that there are two types of wisdom, wisdom from above and wisdom from below. James 3. There's the wisdom of man in the world. There's the wisdom of God from above, right? And so here, certainly spiritual wisdom comes from the Spirit of God, right? Two can't be disconnected. And where do we find spiritual wisdom? Do we get it in dreams? Do we get it in meditation? Where do we find spiritual wisdom? We know that God spoke in many portions and many ways, and now he's spoken through his Son. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, because we see very clearly where his wisdom comes from. God's wisdom. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. The Apostle Paul is cutting the table legs out of the Corinthians' pride in man. It's spiritual pride. I'm a Paul, I'm Apollos, some of this, some of that. They were tempted to that in terms of wisdom, in a sense. And Paul has to say, hey, here's my example. And his example is not of an elevation of a man at all. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 1. And when I came to you, brethren, I did not come with superiority of speech or wisdom, proclaim to you the testimony of God, for I determined to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. Let's focus on Jesus, right? And I was with you in weakness and in fear and much trembling, and my message and my preaching were not in persuasive words of wisdom. Boy, preaching 101 here for believers, not for the fakers out there pulling in the world every Sunday. He says here, my message and my preaching were not in persuasive words of wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not rest in the wisdom of men, but on the power of God. But he's saying, yet, hey, we do speak wisdom. And I want to tell you what it's all about. He's going to say that here. Yet we do speak wisdom among those who are mature or complete. A wisdom, however, not of this age, nor of the rulers of this age who are passing away. But we speak what? God's wisdom. In a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God predestined before the ages to our glory, the wisdom which none of the rulers of this age has understood, for if they had understood it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But just as it is written, the things which eye have not seen, ear has not heard, and have not entered into the heart of man, all that God has prepared for those who love him. This is stuff that didn't come from human beings. Never even entered the heart of man. It came from God. And notice what he says here. It's not something that's coming later on. Notice what he says here. For to us, God revealed them. These are those hidden things. The wisdom of God was revealed through the Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, even the depths of God. For who among men knows the thoughts of a man except the spirit of a man which is in him? Even so, the thoughts of God no one knows except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know, get that word, know. We might know the things freely given to us by God. That's his word. That's his wisdom that wasn't known, but now it's been revealed. And he says, which things we also speak. Hey, it's God's word we speak. Not in words taught by human wisdom, but in those taught by the Spirit, combining spiritual thoughts and spiritual words. But a natural man, that's a non-believer, does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand because they're spiritually appraised. That's why we share the gospel with non-believers, by the way. They're not going to get anything else. They don't accept it. They're not going to get it. But he says here, but he who is spiritual appraises all things, yet he himself is appraised by no man. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he should instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. We have the thoughts revealed of Christ in his word, those hidden things of wisdom. We have God's word. Colossians chapter 2, verse 3 states that in him, speaking of Christ, are all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge.
If you've just joined us, you've been listening to Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt. You can hear today's message again by visiting our website, etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. CDs of today's message or other messages are available at our website as well. And as a part of the ministry of Equipping the Saints, all our audio resources are available at no cost to you, thanks to the Lord's provision through the faithful support of friends of this broadcast. To order your complimentary CD, call us toll-free, 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. If you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org. Greg, it's clear that the full knowledge of his will is revealed in his word. Yet, how does this truth help us walk in a worthy manner?
Well, Dave, we're just going to have to wait till tomorrow's broadcast. So I'd encourage you to make plans to join us then.
But if you can't make it tomorrow, you can always go to etsradio.org and listen to the broadcast. And I also have some exciting news. We've been working in-house on an ETS app for the iPhone, and it's almost ready. And so we'd certainly appreciate your prayers and are so thankful for your support so that we can get out His life-changing word.
As we close today's broadcast, it's our prayer that the Word of God has done its work in your life and that you've been challenged and encouraged to follow Christ more closely. If you'd like a complimentary CD of today's broadcast, call us toll-free at 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. And if you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org. Well, we hope you'll make plans to join us again tomorrow, right here for another edition of Equipping the Saints. Equipping the Saints is a broadcast ministry of Equipping Bible Church.